Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, March 7th, 2013. Well, tonight's guest has toured with Suzanne Vega and Paula Cole and recorded with Sting. A Juno nominee, Leila Bialy has also been named the SoCan Composer of the Year and Keyboardist of the Year at Canada's National Jazz Awards. Leila splits her time between New York City and Toronto and will be touring the area this month. She's on the phone with us tonight to talk about her career, her faith, and her tour. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to A la poursuite de la mairie, or Chasing Tides, from Leila Bialy's Live in Concert CD. The song was written while she was on tour in France with former Police frontman Sting and recorded before a sold-out crowd in Toronto's Glenn Gould studio in February 2012. Interview with Leila Bialy. Good evening, Leila.
Good evening, Robert.
Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did your interest in music start?
Well, as the story goes, according to my mother, when I was 3 and a half, they were debating, well, do we put her in gymnastics or do we put her in music? And there was a piano in our home at the time, and they said that I, at one point, crawled up on the bench. I was 3 and a half, and plunked out the theme to Sesame Street. So at that point, my mom said, okay, well, we have somebody here who must be interested in music.
Yeah.
And I started piano lessons officially when I was 4. And, of course, you know, like a lot of kids growing up in Canada, learning music and piano more specifically, I trained with a teacher learning the Royal Conservatory of Music method. And so that was sort of classically based.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't really until I was in my teens and going to a high school in North Vancouver with a band director that had a great interest in jazz that I got into jazz. And at that point, I sort of started to explore other styles a little bit. And then it wasn't until I went to college in Toronto at Humber College that I really sunk my teeth into jazz.
So, well, what was it about jazz that kind of drew you in, that attracted you?
There was nothing about jazz that drew me in. It was really funny. I was in my teens and really an aspiring concert pianist, and then I injured my arm. I was in a car accident, and
okay.
And I couldn't really play these incredibly challenging classical concert piano pieces anymore. And so the way I put it, although I would never say that today, but at the time I defaulted to jazz and ended up kind of playing a little bit of jazz just because, you know, I could. And my teacher at high school, the high school I was going to, was really interested in introducing me to jazz. And so I kind of got my feet a little wet, and then I was playing in a festival with the jazz band and playing mostly with my left hand because my right arm was still injured. And I got offered a scholarship down for college. And I was actually going to go to UBC for sciences. And I thought, oh, well, I have this scholarship to this college in Toronto, and a couple of my girlfriends were going. And I thought, well, I'll try it out for a year, see how it goes. So I didn't really develop a real passion for the music until I was actually in Toronto, going to school, and really, you know, digging deeper into what jazz is all about. And then I started to fall in love with the genre.
And that's interesting. You're the second jazz player I've met who an injury has led to their switching from classical. I know a violinist who I think it was developed tendonitis, and a fellow by the name of Trevor Dick. And
I know Trevor. I didn't know that was his story.
Yeah. He had been doing some. He'd been doing concert stuff and had been studying just from the strain of doing the music, ended up injuring his one arm, and so he switched over to jazz and teaching. So are all jazz musicians damaged then?
Sorry, can you say that last part again?
I said, are all jazz musicians damaged?
Oh, well, I think in one way, shape, or form, some might say. No. But I know that's funny that Trevor has a similar story.
Yeah. Well, looking at this, and as you moved into the jazz genre, who became some of your influences as a musician?
Keith Jarrett was somebody who, because he was such a strong classical pianist growing up, when I would listen to his solo piano improvised records, I could hear so much of that classical background in his playing. It almost sounded like spontaneous contemporary classical composition, but it was so beautiful, and it was improvised. So it was like this cross-section of jazz and classical that really helped bridge the gap for me. And so he became a very powerful influence, and I started checking out more of his sort of straight-ahead jazz records, but I could still hear the spirit of his classical music in his playing. And so he definitely was a primary and foundational influence in the early days for me. And then I started getting into, some of the players who were covering pop songs and rock songs and, making them jazz in a way, or packaging them and playing them for a jazz audience. Guys like Brad Meldow and even Herbie Hancock and another young pianist at the time named Jeff Keyser, they pianistically and also in terms of concepts started to influence me. And it was then that I started to branch out and experiment a little bit more with taking pop songs and arranging them for a jazz group, so creating a little bit of a hybrid.
Well, when you're doing that, yeah, and I'm looking at your live album, we're playing little clips from that between the interview segments. You've taken songs like Woodstock or Nat King Cole's Nature Boy and things like that. What makes you decide which song you're going to take and put it into a jazz setting? Is there something specific you're looking for in a song, or is it just stuff that you like?
Well, I think if there are lyrics, I definitely need to be moved and on board with the message of the song so that I can sing it convincingly and own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's any performer's job to make a piece of music their own, whether they've written it or not. And so that's sort of the number one. I've got to believe the story or the message. And then secondly, the song needs to lend itself to a unique and different arrangement. So I feel like probably almost any piece of music could be arranged, but I suppose I need to be inspired. I need to feel that there's the possibility to do something new and interesting with the song within a jazz context.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, there are things that I listen for in terms of the harmony and the melody, just to see if there's room to play and change things. For example, Sting is one of my favorite musicians, and I've had the chance to work with him. And, I've never actually arranged one of his songs, and the reason is because they're kind of like, I don't really know what I would do. He sort of already has a little bit of a jazz influence. He works with jazz musicians much of the time.
Well, he originally came out of a jazz background before he went into the police.
Exactly. So it makes sense that he has that sensibility when he's writing and conceptualizing his music. And so when I listen to a song like All This Time, I'm like, well, what do I do with that? You know, it's kind of done.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons that he's not someone I've covered, so I absolutely love his music.
Okay. Well, what I need to do is I'm just looking at time. We're going to take a quick break and then continue our conversation with jazz musician Leila Bialy. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Show me the place where you want your slave to go. Show me the place I've forgotten, I don't know. Show me the place, for my head is bending low. Show me the place where you want your slave to go.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Show Me the Place from Leila Bialy's Live in Concert CD. I'm your host, and Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Leila. Show Me the Place was one of the pieces you played at Imago's 40th anniversary celebrations last November. I had a chance to be there, and it was just a great night of art and music and dance and the whole thing. What kind of influence has Imago had on you as an artist, as you've been developing as an artist?
Well, I think it's been inspiring through Imago to dialogue and with and witness the stories and journeys of other artists who are also Christians, because sometimes it feels like we're a rare breed in that so many of the musicians that I've interfaced with and worked with and found myself in community with over the years have not been, you know, professing Christians per se. And so Imago has sort of drawn me into this circle of people who are, you know, creative and I mean, I think in a way all human beings are creative, but people who are actually, you know, creating work and whose livelihood is in the arts. And so that has been of great value to me, that community of like-minded artists who I think struggle with a lot of the same questions and challenges that I do, even if they're not musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also helped me kind of stay on the straight and narrow path, as it were, just because, you know, Imago, I feel, casts kind of a wider net, perhaps, than other Christian organizations might in terms of embracing artists that might are a little bit more subversive, culturally subversive. And so I feel like that has, given me permission to struggle and mm-hmm. ask tough questions that that artists do, questions that have to do with the intersection of faith and art and life. And so in a way that has always ultimately drawn me closer to Christ and grown me in my faith, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking at it, and you've mentioned, you having the chance to be around a lot of people who, aren't particularly, don't confess a Christian faith. I'm looking at some of the people you've worked with over the years, people like Sting and Mark Jordan and that. And when you're, doing tours and when you're working in that whole atmosphere, how did you keep yourself grounded and grounded in your own Christian faith?
Absolutely, connection to my community of fellow believers, no matter where they might be. I have sort of like a prayer group that I will be emailing with whenever I'm touring. I let people know where I'm going to be and what I'm doing, and request prayer specifically for various things that the Lord's put on my heart. Because if I don't actively position myself in such a way as to be focusing on Him when I'm out on the road, it is so easy for the focus to end up elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Too easy for that to happen. So it's really been important for me to, almost as a form of accountability, reach out to these people and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be, this is what I'm doing, and this is where I really anticipate the Lord will be working, and this is what I really want to see and hope will happen.
Is it easy to get overwhelmed by the business, the music industry, and that challenge, find that challenge to keep that spiritual connection?
Sure. I mean, I feel like I try to be a consistent person, no matter where I find myself. But yeah, of course, it is challenging, and faith maybe isn't always seen as cool. At least not a faith that's as specific as Christianity. I feel like the sort of spirituality du jour these days is one that's more universal in a sense, or embracing of all faith walks. And I mean, there's no question that I embrace and appreciate a variety of faith walks and journeys. But what I believe is, what we believe is quite specific. So, I want to always stay real about where I'm coming from without shoving a message down people's throats that makes them feel alienated. So it's mm-hmm. a fine balance, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced that in your own life as well.
Yeah, and I've talked to other artists who have had the same challenges, and people that have worked, more in a mainstream arts area, and it's always a challenge to keep that balance between doing what they need to do to do their job, but also making sure that there's a grounding there in who they are as a Christian, and that it's finding that balance and finding the ways to do that. And when you're touring, it's a rough slog. I mean, you're going from hotel room to hotel room. You're going from the rehearsal time to sound checks to the concert to the after stuff. It's very easy to get overwhelmed with the doing of your art, and be having to be deliberate about developing that spiritual walk.
Yeah, totally.
So, well, I think what we need to do is take one final break, and when we do, we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with jazz musician Layla Bialy. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Human Condition, one of Leila Bialy's own compositions, which was recorded at the Glenn Gould Studio in Toronto for her Live in Concert CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Leila tonight. Looking at your own compositions and things like that, when did you actually start getting into writing?
I was 12. I was, you know, still just playing classical music, but wanted to explore writing my own songs that were kind of pseudo-classical. My attempt at writing classical music. So that was when it started, and then I kind of, you know, walked away from composition. Wasn't really taking myself all that seriously. I could see there was an interest, but wasn't taking myself all that seriously until I was at college. You know, when I was 17, and at that point, you know, the program I was in, they started to really encourage musicians to be creating their own work and writing. And as I was listening to new music by writers and musicians I was being introduced to for the first time, I started to just really develop an appetite for creating my own work. And part of it was actually that, I still was dealing a little bit with this injury even while I was at college. I was actually singing my first year more than I was playing because I was still dealing with this injury. And yet I was hearing all this music that couldn't be expressed fully vocally, and I didn't necessarily have the chops available to me at the time to really be working it all out in real time with the band. So instead, I could just sort of slow things down and write some of what I was hearing down on paper, and that was really how I started to get into creating my own music, most of which was instrumental. Mm-hmm. for most of my time at college. And then it wasn't until I left and started touring with Paula Cole and Suzanne Vega and Sting, these incredible singer-songwriters, that I decided to start exploring a little bit with creating works that involved both music and lyrics.
Great. Well, speaking of touring and that, you're going to be in the area, Markham and Hamilton, later this month as part of a tour. Can you give us a little bit of detail about that and the dates when you're going to be in the area?
Sure. Yeah, I'm very excited about coming to Hamilton. We're going to be there on Friday, March 22nd. We're at the Molson Canadian Studio, which I think is at Hamilton Place. Is it? You might even know better than I. It's Molson Canadian Studio, and it's really officially our first Hamilton public debut show. My drummer, Larnell Lewis, is extraordinary. He's actually also a Christian. He's toured with Fred Hammond and other incredible gospel artists. So he's going to be there playing drums. You don't want to miss him. He's a phenomenon. And then a wonderful bassist, George Kohler, is going to be rounding out the trio. We might even have a surprise Hamilton guest join us. That's kind of up in the air right now. And then we're going to be in Markham the day before, on Thursday, March 21st, at the Flato Markham Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking forward to that as well. Larnell will be with us on drums, and George Kohler on bass, so the same trio. And yeah, we're going to be doing some new songs. We have this funny thing we've decided to take on called Request-O-Matic,
mm-hmm.
where we're inviting people who are coming to these shows to send an email to requestomatic@lailabialy.com or join us on our Facebook page for those two concerts and post on the wall with their requests for those nights. They can choose songs that are from the records that we have that are out there already, or they can suggest a brand new song that we've never done before. And so we've had a mix of people saying, I want to hear, you know, Show Me the Place, or hey, how about this song by a band I've never heard of? And we're actually going to attempt to, present some of these new songs and suggestions by people, which makes it kind of fun.
Sounds like fun.
It's going to be an interesting night of music, yeah.
Where can people get more information about the concert?
I think the best place is to go to my website. So I know the spelling of my name is weird. If you check it, if you type in Leila Bialy on Google will usually correct you and give you the correct spelling. Otherwise, it's LAILABIALI.com. I have a page that lists all my shows and all the information. Or you can visit me on Facebook, which is facebook.com/LailaBialyMusic, or you can just search me on Facebook.
Great. Laila, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Oh, you too. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, today, and to my guest, Laila Bialy. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.